The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, three-pointer, buries it!
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
Week 16. We made it to week 16. It is the Big Shot Bob podcast. B-Dog Brandon Harper is here. My name is Rob Jenners, and the guy on the other side of the country would be seven.
Hi, guys.
Seven-time NBA. Just shout loud so we can hear you.
How you?
Hi.
How the
Hi, guys.
How the gas pipelines out there in Cali?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, let me just say this. Yesterday, I had to fill up my truck, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, this is taking longer than normal, and it was going slow. But then I looked, I'm like, what the hell? $120? What the hell? And I looked, gas was like a $4.89. I'm like,
oh,
wow.
Oh, my God.
Like, yes.
Is that normal for L.A.? Like, what's a normal gas price in L.A.?
About $4.20. Yeah.
Dog. I mean, once we start creeping in on $3 here, it's
Armageddon.
Yeah. It's $2.99 at the pump, and people are ready to throw bricks through windows in Atlanta.
Well, don't come out here, dog. Yeah. I was at the gas pump. I'm like, man. And then you get to that point like, well, I'm not filling up. It's too much money. And you realize by the time you get back to the other side of town, you got to do it again. So you might as well just fill up there and worry about it later.
Well, yeah, we're in a
$120 though.
Dude, that's out of control. That's out of control. I mean, well,
I was on fumes too, though. So I was.
Well, here's the thing.
I had 0 miles to go.
we're creeping in on it in Atlanta because I think the stat that Harper and I just found was 43% of gas stations in the state of Georgia have no gas at the moment.
None.
Almost half.
Well, y'all, that problem's about to resolve, though. So.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
The great state of South Carolina, where your pops is at.
I thought it was North Carolina.
North Carolina and South Carolina are both getting clubbed as well. I think South Carolina is around the same point we are. And North Carolina, I think, is like almost 70% of stations have no gas.
My dad doesn't go anywhere, so I'm not worried about him.
He's just, stay home, bud. Yeah. Stay home.
But here's the crazy part about that. They had this on the news that how is it that a gas truck that delivers the gas can't get gas? You know, if they can't get gas to deliver the gas, that's bad. Well, I don't understand that.
I don't know how the chain works.
I don't know how that works.
I don't understand the supply chain for gasoline at all, except for somebody has it and they deliver it to us. That's all I've got.
All I know is I was able to fill up yesterday, regular gas, I was able down
where?
I live on the South Side for all those who, obviously, most of our listeners don't live in Georgia, but I live on the southern side of Atlanta, Metro Atlanta. So I went to, Noonan area, and because it's only about 10 minutes from me. So I went down there just to check it out.
Go to the outskirts.
Where there's not a whole lot of traffic. And, I was able to get in line for about 5 minutes and boom, 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 filled up, threw the deuces, and I was out.
My ass was driving everywhere trying to find gas. Nobody. Not a single gas station anywhere near my house.
Ran out of gas trying to find gas.
Exactly. That's where I'm creeping
in. Had a half a tank before you start looking for gas.
Yeah.
Now you got no gas.
Guess whose ass working from home the next couple of days if I can't find gas? Guess what? Yeah. We're going to be doing this podcast from my closet upstairs.
Hey, they go like, no, you got a bicycle.
Yeah. Well, I live 30 miles from the radio station. I ain't biking 30 miles through Atlanta to get to the radio station.
You better hope it's downhill.
Yeah. It's going to suck one way or another is the message. We did have some NBA. Oh, by the way, we're going to be joined by Mitch Richmond this week, your buddy Mitch. How close are you guys? Are you guys tight?
Yeah, Mitch and I are pretty tight. We always talk a lot of trash with one another. Back when his days of being the Rock, I don't think people realize he was the Rock before the Rock.
He was, yes.
Mitch is one of those guys who, when you talk about that, don't get recognized enough. And everybody knows it from Run TMC, but what he did in Sacramento, carrying that franchise when they flat out sucked
for like 8
and
years,
all they had was him. Think about that. I don't know if I could have done it. You can do it in high school and college, but when you get to the pros and you got to carry a franchise and every night you playing 40 minutes a game, but you're still getting your ass kicked. Yeah. It got to be rough. So, yeah, Mitch has been my guy for a long time. One of the nicest guys you ever meet.
Well, we're going to talk to him in a few. I'm anxious to get some stories out of him, because I'm sure both of you got stories for days. So we did have some history this week in the NBA.
The fadeaway, yes. And there it is. History. Russell Westbrook has just surpassed Oscar Robertson. It lasted 47 years, and now Russell Westbrook stands there all alone.
A record that was titled untouchable for 47 years has been broken. Congratulations, Russell Westbrook.
That was, I believe, was that here in Atlanta?
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, I was going to say, Harp was there for it.
Yep.
That's one of those records, I think, that most people look at in sports and go, that's probably never going to be broken. And sure enough, Russell Westbrook did it this week.
And you could tell he was trying to get it, too. Boy, that last rebound, guy went up for it. He said, oh, this is the record. Let me back off. And then Russ got it. And, you know, lo and behold, that's the record right there. So congrats to Russ, man. That's a heck of a record to hold now.
Yeah, Russ is a extraordinary type of individual. The way he plays the game with the energy and the effort and the ferocity, you know, he just goes in as mad. When he attacks the rim, he's just mad. And so you got to love playing against a guy like that and with the guy. And for him to break that record that was been up for 40-plus years is incredible because, like you said, Rob, there's certain records you think would never be broken. Yeah. And the next one I see that's never going to be broken is Bill Russell's 11 championships. So when you talk about NBA records, it's going to be hard.
I don't think anybody can surpass that. I mean, there's some – I think I always think of
unless I make a comeback.
Well, you got four to go, bud. I got news for you.
Man, please. At
50. Good luck to you.
You're going to risk hurting your hip and your knees over trying to collect them rings. Ain't no way in the world. You got seven. You got enough.
Half the damn Nets are out anyway. You could probably ride the bench over there and be injury prone and maybe steal a ring or two.
You have to go back where you start. You know, watching the Houston Rockets play, I might could get 2 or 3 minutes. I know it won't end there,
they need it. They need it.
At Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. Those other mobile companies make you think you're in control, but you're really not. They lure you in with shiny new phones and then lock you into long-term contracts. But Simple Mobile is different. You can get a 30-day plan starting at $25. You can also get the latest smartphones, or if you have a compatible phone you love, you can bring it. Just text BYOP to 611-611 to see if your phone is compatible. It's the reliability you need when you need it. All on a powerful nationwide 5G network with no mystery fees, no activation fees, and no contract ever. All for less money and no contract ever.
5G capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 5G network is not available in all areas. 5G upload speed not yet available. Message and data rates may apply. Visit simplemobile.com/privacy policy for the privacy policy. Service plan required for activation. Terms at simplemobile.com.
Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
There he is.
What up, man?
There he is. Mitch, thank you for jumping on with us, man. We appreciate the time. We were kind of poking Rob's brain about your relationship when you guys came to be on the same team and stuff. How did you guys know each other when you faced each other, and then kind of how did you guys come together when you were on the same team?
Yeah, I think I think our personalities just match. Tell you the truth. I used to kill Rob all the time when he tried to guard me. they always try to put Rob over with the length. You know what I mean? Rob bothered me a little bit because he was lean. He was long. You know what I mean? So I had to make sure that my guys set a pick on it. You know what I mean? So I could get him feel free. You know what I mean? I think when we got to L.A., man, we just kind of hit it off, man. And it was actually me, him, and Fish that started kind of hanging out. But I think me and Rob kind of got a bond because I remember we used to be on the road a lot. And, I kind of used to like to go on my own a little bit, kind of sneak away a little bit. Man, go have me a little drink, kind of a little quietly. And I can remember the first time Rob was like, yeah, man, everybody like, yeah, man, well, I'm get me some sleep. I'm gonna go to bed. Gonna, you know, get ready for tomorrow. And then I snuck out a little bit so I can go out. You know, just kind of relax a little bit. And all of a sudden, I look in the back, Rod on the other side. robbed them beat to the spot. You know? And then it happened another time. I said, hey, man, we just might as well just go ahead on and start meeting up, man. We going to the same spot. That way, and you know, that's how that bond started.
You know, it's so funny that when you meet good people and you just know people who are just down to earth, because when you played against Mitch, he was just that rock, you know, like his nickname. He just went hard at you. And we always, you know, talk shit to each other about, you know, oh, I was the only one to guard you. Because one game we in Houston, Mitch fouled out everybody on our team. And they looked over like, put Rob on it. I think that was a double overtime game or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, after that, we kind of formed a bond. And when he came to L.A., we had a closer bond. And we used to go out and have a couple of cocktails and relax and just talk about life, talk about our families and, you know, and get to, you know, the thing about that is the NBA bond is something special, man. And right. Mitch is a special type of individual. So thanks for coming on, Mitch.
No problem. And we had a mutual friend in Ron, who we still talk to today, Ron Finley.
The gangster gardener.
So we had a mutual friend, and he used to actually do all of our clothes. So, you know, so if you saw any crazy outfits, that was from, you know, Roger.
Hey, Mitch, I want to ask you, I got a two part question. You see the way the league is played today, a lot of running gun and up the floor, fast pace. You know, you know, Hardaway and Chris Mullin out there in Golden State with Run TMC. What is it like to see and know that you all were really a part of, you know, between you all and Showtime being a part of that running gun style that's really birthed today? How does it feel to know that you played a big part in that?
No, it feels great. I mean, you know, we look back and look at those numbers, man. That's 30 years ago, man. Good geez. it's so long ago, man, and it happened so fast. I always try to tell the kids, enjoy the time that you are in there, because things do happen at a rapid pace. But, yeah, no, it's good to be compared to how the guys are playing today. And, I mean, not necessarily we play like these guys, because they shot – you know, one guy can shoot 18 threes in one game. I mean, we never had that opportunity like that. But the style that we played was pretty much the same. A lot of motion game, a lot of body movement, and a lot of sharing the ball.
Yeah. And also, like a cultural icon. Obviously, y'all run TMC, you know, compared to run DMC. What's it like being a cultural icon to a lot of people? You know, when people may not know you by name, but they say, he was part of Run TMC. Oh, I know who y'all are now. And then, so you compare the cultural aspect.
Yeah, it's a great nickname, to tell you the truth. I mean, we had a lot of names that was going around, but that one really kind of stuck to us. And no, it's great to go back and at least go back in time, man, and really know that people remember the Run TMC days.
Yeah. I wanted to ask both of you guys, Rob and Mitch. I saved this for both of you, because we're going to talk about it earlier, but I put it on the shelf. Kobe Bryant goes into the Hall of Fame this weekend. Right. Saturday, we get to see Kobe go in. So obviously, you guys getting to play on that team, win a championship with Kobe, both knowing him, I think, pretty well. Share some of your Kobe memories, man, your Kobe stories before he goes in this Saturday.
Well, I mean, you know, Rob knows. We always know that this guy was one of the hardworkingest players in the game. At that particular time, Kobe didn't like to joke around. He was all about basketball. He stayed in the gym. He worked on his craft. He was the type of guy, when he played against a guy and a guy did a move on him, he would be in the gym the next day trying to master that move. So the one thing I liked about him, that he played both ends of the court. He was just a joy, no doubt about it, to play with, and just to see him and Shaq really kind of bond and get those championships, and gave me an opportunity before I left to get me one. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, for me, you know, seeing him when he was a rookie and getting traded to the Lakers, and then everybody's, oh, look at this rookie Kobe Bryant, and I'm like, he's just, you know, high school guy, he ain't ready. And then you go up and practice, she's like, oh, he ready. And for me to see him go from 8 to 24, and it's weird because, you know, the 8 to me was a young harsh, brash Kobe who only cared about basketball. And, you know, that was fine with me because it helped you win. You know, that's what you do. And then the 24 turns into, you know, the father, the good teammate, and all this kind of thing. They became a more compassionate Kobe Bryant. So right. to be a part of both, and, you know, because it was covering the Lakers and got a chance to talk to him after games and that side of things. So you could see that, you know, it was a guy who came full circle. You know, because you think about it, every NBA guy, when he comes, he wants to make his, leave his mark. And that's what he was doing. He was all about basketball. And then he realized, you know, I got my championships. I can still leave my mark and still be compassionate for my teammates and others. So it was a great joy for me to be around him. Just like, you know, pretty much every guy I've ever played with.
Yeah. I think, you know, from COVID, people don't understand. Like, you know, I think you got to go back into when Bean Bryant, his dad, was trying to get into the league or trying to make it in the league. People don't really remember. It was 12 rounds of basketball. When the draft came, when you had guys in camp that was really and truly trying to fight for a position, it was a, you know, 50 guys trying to get 12 spots. You know what I mean? And so I think Bean Bryant kind of rubbed off on Kobe and said, "Hey man, it's a business, and you don't have to take no prisoners. You have no friends. Everyone's trying to take your job. It's all about what you're about." And I think when he came in with that attitude that I don't like nobody. You know what I mean? I don't like nobody. Everybody's trying to take my spot and I'm trying to take yours. And I think that's the thing that really kind of propelled him to be really great. But then he really started, probably, like Robert said, realize that he does need his teammates. You know what I mean? He needs those relationships and those interactions to kind of propel him to the next level, and he's done that.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned, you know, just based off what you mentioned about how different things were back in the day where you could be friends with a guy off the floor, mm-hmm. but when it came mm-hmm. to, you know, on the floor, you know, I'm trying to take your head off. And, right. you know, we'll talk about it later if your head's still connected to your shoulders. Right, so, right. you know, but in today's game, it's a little different. You know, you got guys, you know, teaming up. You have guys who work out with each other in the off season. They're the godfather of each other's kids and things of that right. nature. Where do you know, what's your thought process on how things were versus how things are today?
Well, I tell you, it was like that because Robert didn't know I was a joker, and I didn't know Robert was a joker. You know what I mean? And I think, you try not to let anybody, you know, your personality at that particular time to get to know anybody. It was all about, hey, how you doing? Boom, keep moving. And then now we get ready to go at it. You know, Robert, like playing against Clyde Drexler, you know, I hated Clyde. I hated beasting Clyde. Like, me and Clyde used to battle each and every day, you know what I mean? And Clyde didn't know my personality. I didn't know Clyde's personality. And I, you know, we talk about it now I think me and Clyde started bonding when I retired. And I went over to China and Clyde was over to China. And then we started talking and I'm like, man, Clyde's a pretty cool dude. You know what I mean? I was like, man, I didn't want to get to know you at all. You know what I mean? It was all, you know, you're trying to let, you know, didn't let guys in. You didn't really let guys in to a certain extent. Even in All-Star games, you know, say hi, you know, here and there, boom, then go your separate ways. But I think today is a little different. Ain't that much physicality. So I guess you can go out to dinner with people. You know what I mean? It was a day where you used to go through the lane, man. You used to get hit by four guys. You can't do that anymore. That's called a foul. It's a little bit more of it's a different brand of basketball, but I still love to see it and see the guys play because each and every year, you know, you have someone to kind of rise to the top and see great play.
Okay. Well, how much of the league are you watching, you know, so far this season? How much basketball do you get a chance to check out and watch?
Yeah, I watch a little bit. You know, I do the same thing what Rod does with the Lakers. I do with Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
You know, I'm part-time, so I get to watch the Kings. I mean, you know, they're
not a great basketball are you watching?
see?
Don't do that.
You know what I mean? That was a jab. You know? I'm gonna let that keep going.
Power through, man.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at the Kings, you get to see some young talent And then also you get to see other guys. And I watch a lot of basketball. I can't believe how Luka Doncic, man, can make those slow moves, man, and be so free.
Yeah.
Back, I'm like, God dang, I would love to try to guard that. I'm just saying. Yeah, but no, it's good to see the guys, man. It's good to see the guys having a good time and enjoying themselves. And the league is so much different than it was, but it's still continuing to keep going up to the top.
I'm
getting old, Mitch, so I forget shit. So we're gonna circle back around. We were talking about Kobe going in the Hall of Fame, and a lot of people don't know that you're a Hall of Famer. And I know that was a special moment for you. I actually tuned in to watch you. And how nervous were you? Because I've seen you nervous before, but you were sweating big time, dog.
let me tell you before that. So right before we had to go on, we had a little reception before that. And then the guy came up to me and said, okay, you're going to be first. I'm like, what? Like, first, man, come on, man, first. So I had been going over my speech, man, and cutting it down because they wanted you to be in a certain time, you know what I mean? And some guys went for hours, and I'm like, man, I'm gonna be as quick as I possibly can. So I kept cutting down my speech. And so right before that, I went in the hallway before everybody sat down, and my whole suit was. I had to take off my jacket, my shirt off. I'm in the hallway, people walking by. I'm like, I'm sorry. oh my God, it was cold. I had to go outside. Man, that was the most nervous. I didn't even know what happened. I just blinked out. I really blinked out until the end. I'm like, oh my God. Thank God that I went first, man, because I was so nervous, man. Yeah, that was nervous.
We talked earlier when I asked Rob how well he knew you. He said that you probably had one of the hardest jobs in the NBA because you were in Sacramento for years. That Sacramento just struggled. I mean, it was a tough team, but you were obviously the star. You carried a lot of the load for the Kings over the years. How weird is it to go from years of that and then transition to a team like LA and get your shot at a ring and go, okay, so this is how this is supposed to go?
Yeah. So you gotta understand, people don't understand the backdrop of that. So I started playing basketball in the 10th grade, so played football all the way up to there, and ever since I started playing basketball, I've really never had a losing record. Always won everywhere I went. My junior college team went like 79-9 in 2 years. So I was all about winning. Kansas State, we went to, the Final Eight, and I won my game away from Final Four. So I was always winning. So, And then all of a sudden I go to Golden State, get drafted, and we're winning. Went to the playoffs and had a couple, I think we had needed a couple players to kind of get us over the top. And then I go to Sacramento. Now, brother, this was the hardest thing I have ever went through as far as in sports, man, because each and every night, man, that your team was not up to par. And every time you go to another city, man, they're talking about, the doormat is in town. So, hey, you can rest your players. You can do this. You can do that, man. It was really hard each and every night, man, going home. Each and every day, like, nobody knew it, but I was in that front office every day, man. Like, can you get me the hell out of here? Wow. Like, yeah. Please, man, get me out of here. And they I should have did what Billy Owens did. I should have not come and then got me out of there. But
you should have threw a towel in someone's face.
Wow. I should have did what you did, Rob.
Yeah, you want to bring it home, yeah.
You know what I mean? Bring it home. But I don't know. I think I was a young player, and I'm like, man, I still wanted to play. I felt like I was still in the NBA, going to Sacramento, and I just changed jerseys. So I had to put a mindset on it, just like, man, each and every night I just got to go out and play hard, not even look at the score. So it was very difficult each and every night, man, going home, knowing that I can help a team win, and having a lot of – and it wasn't that they didn't have good players. They had young players. And then, sometimes you have teams. That's why it's so important, I feel like people don't understand how you have to have a lot of luck. You have to have a lot of talent, and you have to make sure that you have no injuries. And so when you know what I mean, when you play that, when you eat in some games, I mean, some years I would come into Sacramento, even though I knew our team wasn't good, and I had to have a mindset and say, man, if we stay healthy,
we got a shot.
Yeah, if the luck just comes our way, man, we might be all right.
We might pull this off.
Yeah, I had to go in there each and every year to think that way, to kind of keep myself kind of mentally prepared. And so I think for me, I just started saying, man, I just want to be consistent as possible. Even though when I'm on a team, I'm just continuing to go and keep playing hard, keep going at guys, take it personal each and every match. And I didn't know it was going to get me to the Hall of Fame, but thank God it did.
You were asking me earlier, Mitch, when's the last time I played? So when's the last time you played?
Oh, man. Hey, listen, bro. I've been playing, to tell you the truth. What happened was I had a hip surgery.
Right. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and I got it's called a hip resurfacing. I didn't get a hip replacement, a hip resurfacing. Mm-hmm. And, man, bro, you get all your movement back. But now I'm not going out and play. I'm playing like – I'm playing my son. We're playing one-on-one and we're playing two games. And let me tell you, man, that's the hardest thing in the world. Your win is not the same, brother. Basketball is so different. Yeah, I can go. I can't go up the court, but I can go and stay in one spot. That's
hey, that's what I'm telling him. Like now, my son who's 15 now, I'm like, he just be blowing by me like, I'm like, okay, all right, we're going to play 5 minutes and that's it.
And daddy's low post and that's all I got.
Hey, we play 2-7. And boy, by them two games, I'm tied to the and if we go and we've been going 1-1 and he's like, let's play the tie break, I'm like, no, I'm good.
You win.
Yeah,
I'm taking it.
Yeah.
Hey, Mitch, you're sitting there looking, how is it that something that used to be so easy and effortless is now so difficult?
Yeah.
Listen, and I know Robert can attest to this. When I see these guys sometime and I'm watching the court and I see a guy dunk the ball or he going down the lane and he get hit, I'm like, oh my God, he hurt. He's injured. And he just popped back up. I'm like, God damn. His knee buckled, his ankle twist. He just shakes it off. I'm like, boy, that's that youngness, boy. I'll be in surgery.
Yeah, I do that every time Anthony Davis step foot on the court.
Oh my
goodness.
I mean,
yeah.
Oh, Lord. Well, you guys always ask when guys come up, they have stories about me. So I'm going to tell you a story about Mitch.
Oh, boy.
So we introduced Mitch to something and Mitch became addicted to it. We introduced Mitch to Garrett's popcorn, the Chicago mix.
Okay.
I didn't know where this was going for a second.
So we know when Mitch had popcorn because Mitch had come to the butt with that towel on his shoulder and his popcorn, and his fingers would be all golden. Like, yeah, you must have ordered that, Mitch, that popcorn. So hey, Mitch was like, you still order it?
Oh, no, not anymore. my son ordered it now. He loved it. So he'll order it now. But, you know, I don't do the cheese and the eggs no more, Robert. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I love them Garrett popcorn. So I figured, like, hey, man, Phil ain't going to play me tonight. Phil bullshit. Okay. Well, I'm going to go over here and get me some Garrett popcorn. I'm going to enjoy myself. Oh. You know what I mean? I take me a little bag on the bench, too. I got front row seats on me.
Hey, you got to have your popcorn for something for that show.
Hey, my popcorn. Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Oh, man.
Have you guys had Garrett's popcorn?
No, I haven't.
No, not at all.
What?
You have to try Garrett's popcorn. Now, we're going to say that this combination is a little off, but you have to have the cheese and the caramel mixed.
Okay.
It's called a Chicago mix.
Hey, Rob, you got to order something for him, man. It is unbelievable.
I'm about to try that.
Do it.
Yeah, we're in Atlanta. Most of our food comes from strip clubs down here, so we don't know. We get wings. Wings at the strip club, man. We don't know.
I heard about those wings. They were very tasty, healthy, in good shape. I heard about those. I heard about them.
Hey, listen, check that. Mitch. Yes. Before we let you bounce, because we know we don't want to keep you too long, but we're joking about Atlanta. You got to do something actually pretty amazing in Atlanta. You won a gold medal here.
Right.
Talk about that experience of being able to play at the Olympics, and then where's your gold medal? Like, where do you keep that thing?
I got it locked up over here. I got it. No problem. But yeah, man, that was exciting, to tell you the truth. Because in 1988, I was on the last Olympic team to come out of college, and we lost it. We didn't get to the gold medal. That was with David Robinson and Danny Manning and all those guys. And so I never thought that I'd have another opportunity to get back, because you never know how the rules was going to be. And then they start, inviting pros. And then all of a sudden I had an opportunity to go to the Olympics in Atlanta. And it was amazing, because I have a lot of family in Atlanta. My dad lives in Atlanta, was living in Atlanta at the time. A lot of my brothers, a lot of my family members, and my mom and all my other family is from Florida. So, they had the opportunity, man, to come and see me in live, and play in the Olympics, man, right in this country and in Atlanta. So it was very, very special, man, to be in Atlanta and playing in the Olympics. It's something I would never, ever forget.
All right. You know, it's funny you mentioned the Olympics. You know, I didn't have many goals coming out of college, besides the NBA. You know, one of my goals was to make it to the Olympics. And I said, okay, it's perfect. So 92 was supposed to be my Olympic year. Right. And I was so pissed that they brought in the dream team. So I'm like, no!
I know.
But that's funny. But you said you got your gold medal over there.
Yeah.
And you probably got your championship ring over there. But here's a question before we let you go.
Okay.
You remember that championship game? You remember what I did? I ran and got the basketball. I brought it to you because, I have so much respect and so much love for you, my brother. I made sure you got that basketball. Do you still have that ball, man? Because you don't, I'm coming to your house and we're going to fight.
Robert, you don't even remember what happened. You know what I mean? You don't even remember what happened. I wanted to kill Rick Fox. I wanted to choke the shit out of Rick.
Who did Rick do?
What happened?
Okay, so when you brought me the ball, right? You brought me the ball, and I'm like, oh, man, thanks, Rob. I got the ball. All of a sudden, Shaq came over and grabbed my head, right, and gave me a hug, and somehow hit the ball out of my hand. So when he hit it out of my hand, he was still grabbing it. And fucking Rick came and grabbed him and ran to the locker room. I wanted to fucking kill him, man.
You should have just took it from him.
Hey, man, hey, listen, I saw him on NBA TV, and I say, Rick, I just got one fucking thing to say. where's my goddamn basketball? Oh, wow. I need that ball, bro. I need that fucking ball back. He like, I wanted to hit him over the head, man. I need that ball. I did not get the ball, Rob.
Oh, no.
I didn't know that, man.
No, because you gave me the ball and you went off and did your thing. And then Shaq came over and hugged me. And he hit the ball out my fucking head.
We got to get Rick back on and clear this up.
Man, get Rick back on. He knew it. And he ran, he ran to the locker room like, oh, my God. I couldn't catch it.
That sucks.
Couldn't catch it, man.
That sucks.
Oh man.
Well, listen, Mitch, we'll let you.
I love you, brother.
Yeah,
man.
We'll let you run, man.
Let's get together soon, man. God damn, we keep saying it, but let's get.
I know we got you now, man. Okay.
All right, I'll see you. Oh, you got anything?
All right, brother, man.
I'm ready.
No. Hey, we go get you, Rick, and we're going to get the whole posse back together pretty soon and do that.
Get Rick back on.
All right. hey, tell that beautiful wife of yours I said hi, and the kids I said hello, and we got to break bread here together soon.
All right, no doubt, man. Yeah. We're in the same city. Let's do it.
All right.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch.
All right, Mitch.
All right, man. Appreciate you. All right, Rob. So I got a question for you. You're a GM. And your job is to go out and get the best players for your team. How much time would you probably waste looking at film and going to practices and talking to coaches probably way more than any of us have. Well, business owners who need good help shouldn't have to deal with any of that kind of wasted time, which is why if you are hiring, you need Indeed.
Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3, post, screen, and interview. All on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes match your job description. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews all in your Indeed dashboard.
Yeah, they make it really easy. It's all functions all through the site, and it makes connecting and hiring the right talent fast and easy. So with tools like Indeed Instant Match, which gives you quality candidates whose resumes instantly fit your job description, they give it to you right away. And then they have these Indeed skills tests that, on average, reduce hiring time by 27%. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. 4 times. So if you're hiring, again, you need Indeed.
Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/Big Shot. Get $75 credit at Indeed.com/Big Shot. Indeed.com/Big Shot. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions do apply.
Oh, so professional at the end. This is a weird one. We're talking about, obviously, about Washington and Bradley Beal. There's some weird stuff going on this week with Bradley Beal. The first part of this was he's got this weird streak going where if he scores 40 points or more, they lose. The Wizards will lose that game if he puts up 40. They are 2-15 over the past 2 seasons when Bradley Beal's put up 40, including 11 straight losses. And that's the longest streak in NBA history. That is just a complete strange anomaly to me. Is Washington that bad, or is that just a weird random streak?
Well, for me, when you have guys, I know we were on a streak where we was just giving the ball to Kobe, but we were able to withstand that by, you know, playing good defense and understand that we're going to get our buckets here and there. But when you watch Bradley Beal, when he goes for 40 like that, it's like everybody's standing around watching. They don't know how to play when he's on a scoring streak like that. And that comes from guys who don't have that veteran pedigree, and they're sitting back and they're just watching because, oh, this is cool, but you still got to be engaged and involved and try to score. But those guys just sit back and say, go ahead, Brad. We're going to let you do your thing. And then you add Westbrook into the mix. You know, Westbrook ain't one to pass sometimes. You know, even though he gets a lot of assists, when he's going up against another good guard, he's going at them. So imagine those two guys are probably going to take 9/10 of the shot, 90%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also they're a bad team too. So,
yeah, I mean, they're not very good.
I'm trying to stay away from that.
No, it's okay. Look, those two guys are perennial all-stars, Russell Westbrook being a future Hall of Famer, you know, Bradley Beal being a heck of a player. But that squad is just – they're very young. They're very inexperienced.
Boo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bradley Beal, since we're talking about Beal, do we even want to call this beef with Bazemore? I mean, it's just so, like, nonsense. Like, Bazemore – took a shot, said, we got guys out here hurting hamstrings to try and keep up with Steph Curry. And I thought that was pretty funny. And Bradley Beal got all in his feelings about it. I didn't like that. I wasn't a fan of it. And I'm like, to me, this is like, this is the Impossible Burger. This ain't beef. Like, you can frame it however you want. I know a hamburger. This ain't a hamburger. Like, there ain't nothing to this. This is just nonsense. And I don't get the whole, I felt offended by it. Like, what? What? Like, this ain't NBA beef, man.
You know, guys get offended really easy nowadays. It happened to me one time. We were playing the Wizards, Sacramento, now that we've got Mitch on. And Walt Williams, you remember him? He was in my draft class.
Yep.
He's supposed to be the next Magic Johnson. He made a move, and I stripped him, but I hit his hand. And apparently, when I hit it, it broke. And so they came, da, da, da. I said, I guess he needs to drink more milk, you know, right? And, oh, he got mad at me, boy.
Oh, come on.
Every game after that, he was going at me, boy. I'm like, hey, you know, hey, it was a joke, man. I'm sorry you took it the wrong way. But if people get super sensitive. I think the most sensitive time that ever happened was when I was on the jump and Tracy McGrady was like, yo, let me get one of the ring. I said, no, brother, you know, you want to, you know, don't you want to earn yours? And I said it as a joke, right? And I guess the camera caught Tracy's face like, and so boy, it exploded like, oh, and then next thing you know, he goes off, says, oh, anybody can win a championship, you know, but getting into the Hall of Fame. And I was like, everybody tried to make it a beef between him. And I said, I'm not falling for him. I said, you know, I he's right. You know, everybody can win a championship. That's why every NBA player has won one. And so, you know, I love Tracy. He's a cool dude. But I said, you know, it was the outside people trying to make something of it. And I don't know. I never talked to him, but I don't know if he got caught up in that and got mad. I said, but I said it as a joke. You know, and I, you know, but think about this. Don't you want to, as a player, you want to earn your championships. You want to be on that team. You don't want someone to just give you one and say, oh, here you go.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with this whole situation, man, look, guys are sensitive about their injuries, especially when you get a guy like Bradley Beal who has tried to shake that name off of him throughout this season of being injury prone. He said it himself, man, I've been trying to work hard to try to shake that injury prone name from being attached to me. And so for you to sit up here and try to say this and say that, you know, even got his wife involved. Wife sitting up there defending him and doing everything like this. She's doing what she's supposed to do.
His wife got involved?
Yeah, she responded on social media, you know, kind of, you know, one of those making those statements, you know, defending her husband. She didn't add anybody, but we knew who she was talking about. And, you know, but that's what a loving wife is supposed to do. And Bradley is going to speak up for himself as well. I'm not surprised. This is what happens. This is the drama of the NBA.
Oh, woe is me. I mean,
this is the drama of the NBA.
Yeah, cue the violin music because I'm just like, oh.
But, poor, you know, I have a lot of respect for when the wives jump in and try to, you know, protect their husbands. So you love that. And vice versa, when husbands protect their wives, they should.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Like, when you, like, come on.
But
now,
it's nothing, though, like you said. It's nothing.
It ain't nothing.
Come on, dude.
But when you attack a guy.
It's Impossible Burger, man. It's fake beef. I'm sorry, it is.
It is what it is, man. It'll blow over.
It's just fake beef.
It's only plant-based.
It's plant-based beef. That's what it is. Artificial. Speaking of health, the Zion Fingergate. That's the other. I don't know how I feel about calling something Fingergate. But he breaks his finger. Obviously, that's going to keep him out. But the NBA fined Pelicans executive vice president David Griffin $50,000 after he blamed the officials for it. Because he said, we told the NBA through every means available to us, through sending in film, through speaking to everybody in the officials department, that the way they're officiating Zion was going to get him injured. And quite frankly, he's injured because of the open season that's been out there on Zion Williamson in the paint. Do you think that that's fair or unfair?
First of all, I respect Griffin for trying to take up for his player. But you got to understand, you got a type of guy who attacks the basket. He causes contact. What you expect for him to do the pounding and nobody else hit him back? And so it's
just one of those things where all over again to me. You know
yeah,
I mean?
it's hack and shack. You know, look at LeBron gets hit. Any guy who is stronger than most guys get hit. And that's the way the NBA is forever going to be. And they think that, you know, you're big enough, you should take it. I literally heard a ref tell Shaq one time, that shouldn't affect you. I'm like, dude, it's a foul regardless. You know, don't just go by my size. If a guy smacks me and I still have the strength to go up and finish, it doesn't matter. He hit me. Don't be mad because I'm more powerful and stronger and bigger than you. And it's wrong for the refs to say, okay, you should be able to take that. But in this case, you know, Zion's, when you play like he does, shit's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, he's a big, aggressive dude.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you play an aggressive position.
It's going to happen. You know, the way he attacks the basket, the way he plays with that college energy, like I like to call it, you're going to take that. It's going to be because a lot of guys can't stay in front of him and they're not stronger than him. So what are they going to try to do? I'm going to hit that arm. I'm going to hit that hand. So something is bound to happen. And look, it's David Griffin, you know, taking up for his guy. And that's what execs and guys on their squad do. So, I mean.
For me, if it had been taken out of the air a couple of times, like they used to do Blake Griffin. You remember how they used to just take him out of the air?
Oh, yeah. He'd be mid-jump.
Yeah. And then you have a platform to get on and talk about and say, oh, they're trying to hurt my player. I'm like, shit, talk to Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin, you know, he got no love when it came to that attacking the bigger, stronger guys. And I watch Zion play all the time. And I'm like, I don't see it. Maybe, you know, I got to watch all 82 or 72 for this season to watch him and make sure they're like, man, they taking care of him. But I don't think he's getting hit and hacked and he got to complain like that.
It's not going to be the first time he gets hacked. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah. Well, no, not.
But we. Let's be honest though. We know why he did this. Let's be honest.
Why?
Because I'm glad you asked why.
Why?
This is why. Because when he went to New York, what he said about, oh, I love this. This is one of my favorite places to play, you know, oh, yeah, outside of New Orleans, you know. So he's like, okay, I got to do everything I can to show Zion love so he don't leave us. So yeah, that's
we'll,
why he did
we'll
that.
Complain to the league and bust the officials. And look what I do for you. Look what yes. I do for you.
Well, let me tell you, David Griffin, I'm going to go ahead and break this news to you right now. I don't care how much you defend him. I don't care how much you bow down to him. If Zion ever has it made up in his mind that he doesn't want to be in New Orleans, New Orleans ain't turning into New York no time soon. I don't see an Empire State Building being built. I don't see major traffic happening.
It doesn't
coming
matter.
Through
None
New
of
Orleans.
That matters. They're going to pay him. He'll stay there if they pay him.
True.
If they max him out, he will stay.
I'm just saying if he has in his mind that he wants to go and go somewhere else other than New Orleans, you're not changing that with anything that you're doing or saying. It doesn't matter.
The only way he's going to stay if they trade someone for R.J. Barrett and he comes in, he got one of his boys on that team with him, that's the only way he ain't leaving New Orleans.
Hold on, Mr. New Orleans don't even need a basketball team. You remember that?
They don't. But I'm saying they don't. They don't need one. They need to ship that team to Seattle or somewhere else, you know. But no. They don't. But that's us. That's what I mean by that. The only way he's going to stay.
No, they're going to pay him, and he's going to stay. They're going to pay him more than anybody.
Staying.
Yeah, he's yes, he is.
We bet lunch.
All right,
somewhere on Peachtree.
We're betting lunch. Easy bet from a guy on the other side of the country. I'll bet you a tank of gas. Hey, it'll cost you $200.
I'm coming that way soon. I gotta go visit Pop, so all I'm right. stop right. through just yeah. get my lunch.
We're owed one of these shows.
I'm coming through the studio.
Together.
That's what we're gonna do. Yeah, it from
we're owed
studio.
One of these yeah. shows in studio. Yeah. Speaking of guys that have each other's backs, I did like Thibodeau having Randall's back the other night. I want to play the audio real quick, just because I thought this was cool.
Yeah, I mean Randall didn't have a big, big night, and you needed other contributors besides Derek.
Oh,
I mean,
wait, Mark. Let me correct you on that. He did have a big night. You know, they're double teaming him. He's spraying the ball, but, you know, everyone tends to measure people on points or shots and not the all-around game. And I thought the big thing is the perseverance to the way he rebounded the ball, the hustle plays that he made. He played a great game without shooting the ball great. And then at the end of the game, he made several big plays for us. And so when you have that type of mental toughness, and it's huge for your team. So I thought he played a great game, even though he didn't have a high number of points.
Yeah, so that's just – I like that. I think that's a classy response where you can stop a guy down and go, wait a minute. If you're looking at a stat line, okay, fine. But are you watching the game? Like, right. Are you paying attention to what's happening on the floor?
Right. And I think when that's the thing with a lot of people in the media who, you know, refer to stat lines and look at, you know, team stats and comparing versus the other team. I'm like, okay, that's one thing, and that can tell – a story, but it doesn't tell the whole story. You're there to watch the game. And Tom Thibodeau is a defensive guy. So he understands that everything is not always about the offensive end of the floor. They're one of the best teams in the league when it comes to defensive efficiency. So he's going to lead first with defense and allow defense to translate into the offense. So Julius doesn't have to have 40 points every night and shoot 6 of 9 from three. So Tibbs understands that, and he tries to get other guys to understand that as well.
For me, it's always that one in the crowd that doesn't understand basketball. He's just, you know, oh, I want to be a reporter. And he goes and he's a reporter. And all he thinks is, oh, points and rebound. Don't even look at the game. He just looks at the stat sheet.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of intangibles.
He didn't have a big night. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of intangibles that go into place basketball. And when guys go out and do things and make their teammates better – you know, that's what it's all about. If you get the dub, that's what it's all about. For you to look at my points, I'm like, dude, big deal. I'm like, I didn't score points, but we got the dub. That's the most important thing. Oh, I dove on the ball, you know, got my hands on a couple of balls. I made some things happen, and that's what it's about. I would love to play for Thibodeau, even just be on his coach staff. Just hang out with him one day just to see his philosophy on how he views basketball and how he, you know, his defensive schemes, because there's a lot of – people in this league that say, oh, you know, we got this defensive scheme, that defensive scheme, but this guy has been around for a long time, and that's how he's made his reputation by being a great defensive coach.
I was going for a second there. I was going to hit you with a pause because you know you said get your hand on a couple balls. We can keep going. I didn't want to be moving. 15 years old for a minute.
We are.
Hey, we have this. We have this thing in the barbershop when you say something like that, you have to say off the record first. Off the record because you know.
We say pause now. Anytime somebody we'll say it first and we'll say pause and then pause. Say what we got to say.
Yeah, okay. Pause. Okay. Now off the record, you know, like you.
Hey, it's Robert Ory, and at Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. You can get a powerful nationwide 5G network all without a contract. Simple Mobile, out with the old, in with the simple.
5G capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 5G network not available in all areas. 5G upload speeds not yet available.
All right, well, look, we haven't done this in a minute, but we do have audio for That's Unfortunate. Now, I know a lot of times when we put a clip on the show for That's Unfortunate, it becomes sort of part of the nomenclature of the show.
It's not just when you come, like, it's how hard you come.
Yeah, so Doris Burke will live on in infamy on this show. Kevin Harlan with the Super Bowl streaker.
Put up your pants, my man!
We have so many classics. Well, this one comes to us from a judge. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but a lot of these judges are doing all of their court proceedings on Zoom now. So, like, if you have a court appearance, you have to do it on Zoom. Like, they don't let you go to the courtroom. So, on Zoom, as such, you get to type in your name, like what your screen name is going to pop up as. Well, if you're going to court, you might want to do a better job of picking your screen name than this Yahoo did.
Good morning, sir. What's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you. Yes.
Nathaniel Saxon, sir.
Your name's not Buttfucker 3000, you yo-ho. Logging into my court with that as your screen name. What kind of idiot logs into court like that? What's your name again?
Nathaniel Saxon, sir, but I don't believe that I typed anything like that in.
Well, that's what it says. You should. I'll put you in the waiting room. You can sit in limbo for a while and think about what you call yourself online.
Oh, man. That was probably his kid scrolling around on his computer or something.
Buttfucker what?
3000.
Good morning, sir. What's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you. Yes.
Nathaniel Saxon, sir.
Your name's not Buttfucker 3000, you yo-ho.
He called him yo-ho, too.
He calls him a...
You yo-ho.
You yo-ho.
Well, that's what it says.
Hey.
Oh, good for the judge, by the way, for not even holding back on
whatever,
that.
Whatever somebody said he did it. He's going to jail. He's going to jail off that name alone.
Just on that name alone. So if you ever trip across a piece of audio you want to share with the show for That's Unfortunate, you can send it to BigShotBobPod@gmail.com.
My goodness, boy.
That is,
I'm getting ready to change my name right now from Robert
O'Reilly. No,
oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
That man doing a whole lot of stuff he ain't supposed to be doing with that kind of name like that, boy.
Hey, let me just say this. I guarantee someone he knows said, oh, can you set this up for me? I got to do court. And they're like, I got you. I got you. I bet you right now he's still mad at whoever said how the hell you set me up as Buttfucker?
You are 100% right. Oh, that is one of his buddies that did that to him.
Yes.
That's like the attorney. Did you see the attorney a few weeks ago who had to do a court appearance, but his daughter had turned on the cat filter? So he's on trying to do, I'm not a cat.
Yes.
Can't get the cat filter turned off.
I don't know how to turn this off.
Yeah, hilarity in Zoom. Oh, God, that was great. I love that. All right, well, listen, before we bounce, we got to do the big shot of the week. This one goes to a guy named Joshua Nelson, an 18-year-old Missouri high school senior. He was one out of five out of 288 applicants to win a president's scholarship to Southeast Missouri State University. Well, good old Joshua had been saving up for college, so he took about $1,000 from his college fund and donated it to local scholarship funds so that other students in need could use his money. And he's hoping that local businesses go ahead and match his gift. He plays varsity basketball. He tutors kids. He's a member of the National Honor Society. National Society of Black Engineers and a few others, but he's taking his college money he saved because he got a scholarship, and instead of using it to go out and do something stupid or spend it on, you know, a PlayStation or whatever, he donates it back so other kids can use that money to go to school. So good for you, Joshua.
That's a real big shot, man. Because you think about it, I think about all these kids now, and I think about when I was that age. I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have the consciousness of the mindset to donate or even save money for my college fund, because, you know, your mind as a kid, like, oh, my parents got that, you know, they're going to do that. But nowadays, these kids, and, you know, he probably come from a wealth because he was saving it himself. So, you know, for him to take his own money and then donate back, give back, you know, pay it forward. And it's that's a really big shot right there. So,
yeah, good for
Joshua
him.
Nelson. You know, you the dog, man.
Yeah,
you're big
salute,
dog.
Brother.
That's
salute.
Good stuff.
Salute.
All right. Well, that is a show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Even our friend Buttfucker 3000. We appreciate it.
Well, that's what it says.
That's what it says, man. I don't know. So,
thank you, you Yahoo.
you
I'm
going to
say this right
yo-ho.
Here. Let's say a friend of his did do it. That friendship, look, he never thought he'd get himself caught up in a situation like this. That friendship got in.
No.
That's done.
That friendship continues on forever.
That friendship
forever.
Ends. Because if I get out.
First of all, go ahead.
If I get out, I'm finding that friend, and we're going to go a couple of rounds. Somebody going, we're going to go into somebody getting knocked out.
I guarantee you, it's like that movie, one of those movies like Tag, when they've been getting together for years, they've been doing all these jokes and pranks on each other.
Yep.
I guarantee you, other guy has pranked him, and so this was his prank back. So it's gonna keep evolving and getting bigger and getting bigger. It's almost like them. It's like those yahoos who do fancy football and they have to get a tattoo on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's good. This is gonna be a prank war.
Oh, he's a yoho. Yoho. I say yahoos. Yeah, yoho.
You yo ho.
You yo ho. Well, I do love the judge.
Well, that's what it says.
Thanks, Judge.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
What's better than courtside seats? Free sports on Pluto TV. Hey, sports fans, get all your sports free on Pluto TV. Pluto TV is your home for sports. Watch 24/7 channels of MLB, MLS, MMA, sports news and analysis, plus documentaries, TV shows, and movies, all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts, ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.